to the Mommy Beta Podcast. We are four new mommies beta testing parenthood, all present and accounted for. We have Alex, Jennifer, and two Natalies, myself included. How are you, ladies?
Morning. Fantastic. Good morning, or good afternoon, depending on where you are.
So I am on the other side of my birthday party, which was just this last weekend, and I can't believe I survived it and went off with flying colors. I heard Alex Reese had a great birthday party, too.
She did. It was fun.
It's great how it all just comes together, and it all looked, my house looked like a total cyclone right before, and then all of a sudden everything settled into place, and the beer was on ice, and the cake was made, and the balloons were up, and it looked beautiful when I thought that it was always going to be just this awful mess, and he got more presents than he knows what to do with, and we'll never have to buy toys this whole year. But it was great, and I can't believe my little man is one. Did you guys get emotional when your kids turned one? I know, Jennifer, you're not there yet, but I was a wreck.
You know, this is Alex. I didn't. I was so excited, and I looked at it just as a big celebration because, you know, it was a first rough 4 or 5 months or 4 months, and every day just gets better and better. So, no, I was really, really excited. Not too emotional.
What about you?
I'm emotional. Go ahead, Nat. You've already been there.
Yeah, it seemed like it had gone so fast. I mean, all those things that everybody says are, you know, true. And it just seemed like such a big jump to the word toddler was really kind of strange for me. I remember when Nick wasn't a newborn anymore. I think after like 3 months or something, they're not considered a newborn. And I remember that was hard for me too. I don't know. It's just kind of, I think anytime I enter a new kind of life phase, I have a little bit of nostalgia for the past. But then you have to remind yourself that, you know, what's going on right now is super fun. And, you know, people with older kids will tell you every stage is better than the last, except for maybe teenagers. So
I will say that Reese turning one, I was so excited, and I'm so excited to see what this year is going to bring. But it also makes me realize, oh my gosh, I missed the little newborn baby phase, and I want another one sooner rather than later.
Get on it, Alex and Josh.
We're working on it. Just kidding.
I think I'm always going to call Elle my baby. Screw, aww, you know, toddler and stuff.
I'm sure.
Even though she's 21 pounds. Oh, my gosh. I have to, like, she loves to be carried right now. I don't know if you, your little ones went through that phase, but so much that I had to go and just bring my Ergo in, and I, you know, carry her around in it because I'm getting these crazy stretch marks on my arms, on my inside of my arms, like where my forearms from carrying her.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you're getting too buff?
No, because I guess the way I hold her probably isn't the best way, and so like I'm just kind of hugging her to me, and the skin stretches or pulls, and I get really freaked out about it. As most of you know, I can be a little bit of a cyberchondriac, and I'm like, oh my God, what are these lines on my arm? I mean, they really, and luckily, my mother-in-law is a dermatologist, and she said that she thinks it's from, you know, when I carry her. If I notice it more after I've put her down, which I just recently have.
Do they go away?
They do go away, but they look really freaky.
Kind of like pillow lines on your face?
Kind of. I have a picture. I'll send it to you guys.
I don't think I'll send it to ask you to.
I won't send it or post it on the blog because actually when I went to the office, the doctor's office, my sister-in-law saw it and she's like, ugh. And then the
reaction you want, right?
Exactly. Well, see, then my other sister, she was like, don't say that. You'll scare her. So yeah, I've taken to wearing the Ergo around, but I'm still going to miss whenever she's walking around and doesn't really want me to hold her as much.
Yeah.
Nick still wants to be held, if that helps.
It does.
Oh, good.
It does. Because that little bit of independence, yesterday I was wiping his face off, something on his face, and he hates that. And he literally put his flat hand against my chest and pushed me away. I was like, no, Mommy.
Aww.
And I was like, no, you didn't. I don't want people wiping my face like that either, but he's getting this little independent spirit. And I'm like, a year ago, I could do whatever I wanted to you, and you had no opinion about it. My little boy.
Well, you didn't do the spit wipe, did you?
What do you mean?
Oh. You know, like where you wipe your finger on your tongue and then wipe their face.
No, but I have done that. I've done it. Yeah. Have you guys done it?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they belong to us. Well, let's talk about some of the things that we're writing about on the blog today or this week at mommybeta.com. I went ahead and tried mama cloth. So this has to do with cloth diapering. That was anyway the impetus of this. So I've been a cloth diaper for, I guess, 9 months now. And so the company that I like to work with and use is Charlie Banana. And I think it was Jennifer, right? You had found that they started selling mama cloth, mm-hmm. which is cloth feminine pads, basically. And Jennifer sent it around like, ew, who would do this? And I was like, I would give it a try. So I kind of took the challenge and I tried it. My Aunt Flo came to town this weekend.
And well, perfect timing.
I know, yeah, right, the birthday, that's party. Exactly what you needed.
So I gave it a try, and I wrote about it at mommybeta.com, and I was a little nervous to share something like that because it's so personal to talk about how you're going to just wash your own menstrual pads, and, you know, it kind of sounds like, what is this?
Even 14? Listening to you gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Why, though? Like, why are we so pure? You know, I start to wonder, like, as a society, we expect everything to be so sterile. We expect our meat to not look like an animal, to not have blood or bone or anything. We expect, you know, our feces and our other bodily products to be packaged up nicely in paper and then thrown away. And I just sort of start to wonder how it became like that, because just one or two generations ago, we had to do all of this ourselves.
I think it's more about, well, now there are the conveniences of today. Unfortunately, they are hurting us, the earth, that is, and in the result, us. But I think that the things that go along with it, you know, that the senses, so smell, I think, is something that grosses me out. I think that has to do with the feces. People are like, dispose of it, get it away, you know, and unfortunately, with when you're talking about periods, there's something to that too. And I can see how putting a cloth diaper into like your little cloth bag, you know, and supposedly oxygen, I think Natalie Gofori told me this, you know, aerates and allows, you know, the poop doesn't really smell anymore. But when you close it off, it does. But I can't imagine having a bag of soaked menstrual pads hanging on the back of the door and I don't know, and it not smelling.
Yeah, well, I mean, you put the wet bags it's the same wet bag that you would use, you know, for your cloth diaper that you use for yourself. So I didn't have any problem with having it smell. And you had mentioned in email like, oh, it's going to be so sticky, but you don't touch it. You know, you wrap it up in its own cloth little bag and then you put it away. So, you know.
Well, not sticky. I was just thinking more of like, it's kind of like a wet towel in between your legs. So it might, but did it feel heavy at all? I mean, no. I'm totally open to the Diva Cup. Sounds interesting, but the soaked cloth, I didn't really like.
Is it like an Charlie Banana insert now? Is it kind of that
no,
that microfiber, or it's more of like a cloth?
Maybe it is. It's kind of like a fleece, I guess, microfiber. Yeah. So it's the same thing that we're putting on our little babies' bottoms. And the one thing about it is it doesn't stay put because there's no adhesive on it. You can't have reusable adhesive. So you got to put on some tight panties to keep it in place. But other than that, you know, I didn't really smell it. And it doesn't, I guess if you've ever used a pad at all, you have the same issues with the fact that, you know, a pad gets full and it's up against you and you have to change it when it's full. It's the same thing.
But the pads, the whole point of those are like the wicking pulls it away, supposedly, you know, so it's not
absorbent
as moist, like
they,
or whatever.
They absorb it, you know, and you just,
right.
it's the same. It doesn't feel any different. I mean, I haven't worn a pad since since I had Miles. We had to for 3 weeks. And it doesn't feel any different than that, except it does move a little more. If I'm going to be pretty active, then they're not the best thing.
I don't know that. I think I might, even though I think it's gross, I may have to try it because I only wear pads. I don't wear tampons.
Yeah, well, then it won't be much different for you. And, you know, we even had people comment on the blog and say that they wash it with their regular clothes because, you know, when you leak, when you have your period and you leak past your panties onto your clothes, those clothes you wash in the regular wash, right? Like, the average woman only bleeds 2 tablespoons a month. That's not that much to wash out of your clothes. So it didn't freak me out that way. And, you know, I think I wrote this on the blog. The one thing, the biggest impetus to this is that I want to teach my son to reject modern conveniences if there's a more responsible choice to make. Now, he will never have a period, but... you know, I think that maybe my kids will eventually see that, you know, mommy doesn't always choose the easiest way, but she has her reasons for doing things for, I don't know, posterity, I think. And that's important to me. And also it's kind of nice to not have to go to Target and spend, you know, $10 on a box of tampons that I don't even really want to be using anyway. So I'm going to stick with it. I don't think that I would use them exclusively. And now if I had just had the baby, I think this would probably overwhelm me because to be washing these in the amount that you bleed after you have a baby was a lot. Although none of you guys, did you bleed as much when you had your C-section?
I think you bleed the same amount because that stuff is still in you and it has to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bled a lot.
For a long time, longer than I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. So this is definitely a podcast for women, if men were listening to
today, this. Yeah. I mean, and recently when I got my menstrual cycle after not having it for so long, I had my period, very heavy period, for 2 weeks.
Wow.
So much that I was like freaked out and of course had to go back to the doctor. Anywho.
Cybercrime.
So, yeah. But I think that's the difference too, is like, different, some people bleed heavier than others.
Yeah.
But it sounds interesting. And I didn't know about this Diva Cup. And Natalie, did you say you tried it?
I haven't tried it yet. There was something similar when we were in high school. It was called like Instead or something. And it was disposable. It wasn't like a reusable one like the Diva Cup is. And for those of you who don't know the Diva Cup, it's essentially like a little, I think it's silicone, like a little cup, almost like a diaphragm, I picture it, that you insert and it catches the goo and then you empty it and you reuse it.
So you reuse it or is it?
Yeah, you reuse it. It can last for like 10 years or something like that.
The Diva Cup, yes, but you're right. Instead, you threw away.
Yeah, so I tried the Instead when I was in high school and I liked that. But I haven't really gotten my period back because of the IUD, so I don't really have to use anything right now. But I definitely will use the Instead the Diva Cup when it comes time.
Well, let's talk a little bit about nursing, because I don't want anyone who gets squeamish about their periods probably had enough of this. But hopefully we're not. Again, this is something that I hope that we can just talk about openly, because I don't like, as a society, when we get increasingly squeamish about things that, you know, our ancestors dealt with without the blink of an eye. And it's kind of like what Natalie was saying about the book last week, that like we sort of lose competence because of modern conveniences in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this breastfeeding doll has been making the news a lot. There's a new doll out that allows little girls to mimic nursing. And this apparently is really controversial. And it started to really bug me that it's even conceived of as controversial. And I like the way Alex put it. Alex, what was your original reaction to this?
Well, so there's two things. There's the actual the breast milk baby doll, and then there's just the idea of a child pretending to breastfeed. So the critics are saying that the breast milk baby is just over-sexualizing young girls or forcing them to grow up too quickly. And so that's one side. But on the other side, it's the whole concept of a child pretending to nurse or pretending to breastfeed. And it really, I first heard about this from Natalie Gafori. She had posted on the Mommy Beta Facebook page. I didn't read too much into it, but then I started seeing all these articles come out talking about how this breast milk baby is over-sexualizing young girls. And I completely disagree. I'm wondering if it's more of the idea of a specific, you know, quote unquote breast milk baby versus, or is it the actual concept? When I was a little girl, I had a doll and I had a little plastic bottle, and I remember pretending to breastfeed just because I saw my mom do it and my cousins, everybody in my family did it. And so it wasn't a big deal. And I feel like people are making it to be a bigger deal than it is.
The same way. Go ahead.
Yeah. And it's so frustrating. You know, and if you ask me, are you going to go out and buy Reese this doll? My answer is no, more so because I think she can, you know, pretend to nurse or pretend to breastfeed with any old doll. So I don't think she needs it. But I'm absolutely not opposed to somebody going and buying this breast milk baby. You know, I was thinking about it, and there are pooping babies. There are you know, peeing babies? You know, is it the name? What is it about this doll that people are so upset about?
Yeah, the name is...
So, sorry, go ahead, Nat.
Yeah, I agree that the name might, the breast milk baby just doesn't sound kind of, doesn't sound right because, first of all, there's no real milk involved and, you know, so I don't know, maybe they should have picked like the breastfeeding baby or the nursing baby. I mean, maybe it's the word breast that's freaking people out. I know people
I like nursing baby. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Something like that. I know.
Well, right, you don't call the baby who poops the pooping baby or the peeing baby. It's just a baby doll.
Maybe people just need a euphemism that would make people more comfortable. You know, people are more comfortable if somebody's covered up when they're nursing. People don't like nursing to be in your face. And, you know, I can understand that, but I also, you know, kind of on the side of the nursing mom where she's got to do what she's got to do, you know, cover up if you want to cover up, you know, try to be discreet in general. But I mean, I know that Nick wouldn't stand being covered up. So it bothers me when people are like, well, just throw a blanket over your baby and it's fine. Sorry, I'm getting off on a tangent, but,
I think not at all.
I think that the nursing baby would have been better received.
Right. And so Jennifer and I were IMing the other day and she brought up a good point. She's like, well, what about Barbie and Ken? And I started laughing out loud because I remember my Barbie and Ken, or my Barbies and Ken, they used to have hot makeout sessions. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Totally. I mean, sorry, my mic was on mute a while back. I was talking. I was like, why isn't anyone listening? I really think, you know, they may have chose this name for marketing purposes. I mean, most of us are in PR. So, I mean, we're all talking about it right now. And I think breast milk does give a different visual than a nursing baby. And it does really irk me that the term sexual is just even being brought into the conversation. That's where the issue comes or lies with all of us. I mean, our boobs are here for nursing. They weren't here to be on Playboy magazine. You know, they're not here.
Most of us.
Speak for yourself.
post-nursing
boobies certainly weren't.
Sad. Yeah.
Yeah. I do think there are two different things going on here. And it's one is the actual name of the breast milk baby and the doll itself. And then the other is the idea and concept of a child pretending to nurse. So, you know, I think it's good to separate the two, which is what I tried to do in the blog post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm just more upset about the puritanical nature of it. Like the boobs must be protected and you can't teach a child to conceive of her body that way. And I think that that's totally fine because as babies or as children, we loved the idea of faux taking care of little dolls and we dreamed about it. Like, why not romanticize breastfeeding a little bit considering that this scorecard, which Jennifer posted about this week on Mommy Beta, is still pretty low when it comes to our success rate in nursing moms.
So. Absolutely.
Very low. It was interesting that I was going to dive over into that unless, Alex, were you wanting to talk about?
No, I think we've had enough of the booby doll.
Well, I was just going to say that on the post I wrote about the report card about the success rates of different states, the ones with the least amount of, like, did not breastfeed or the least, less than 30%, I guess, is the lowest number of that state breastfed at 6 months of age. Another reader posted a corresponding sort of map of childhood obesity. And it's amazing to see that those states are the ones that have the highest obesity rates. And I don't know if those are connected, but I do think it's interesting. And I do have a question about breastfeeding, breast bottle feeding, and how it leads to childhood obesity. Is it that the fact that the child can pull away when they're full, or is it something in the breast milk itself? Because I pumped quite a bit, and I would give L breast milk in a bottle. But is that just the same as dealing with formula?
I don't think it's statisticians would call this not a linear relationship. I think it's a structural relationship, which is to say a linear relationship, which means this thing causes that. And you can't say that directly, but there are structural issues at play that cause these both things at the same time. So mm-hmm. probably if someone doesn't succeed at nursing to 6 months, they don't have the support structure around them or the knowledge base or the education or the resources to succeed, which means that child probably will have that continuous experience throughout their rearing. So when they get older, the mother still doesn't have the resources to feed that child healthfully. So I think, like I said, it's a structural relationship, not a linear relationship. Spoken as someone who's a sociologist.
Interesting. Well, what's funny too is that, you know, those states, they have the highest welfare rates. And not funny, but interesting. And the women who can't afford formula are just given formula. So they're not even trying to nurse.
Well, we've talked about this before when we talked about the WIC stuff. And I think that that might be a misconception in that the government programs are supporting formula more than breastfeeding. I don't remember all the details, but when we talked about the WIC stuff, it was very clear that, you know, that's kind of the way it used to be, but now governments are taking a more active role in promoting breastfeeding over formula.
Right, and we know, and when I did write about that WIC, we do know, just a reminder that breastfeeding isn't easy for everybody. So we just have to, you know, keep that top of mind. And you do really have to work for it. And it, you know, I think it's a mother's choice to figure out how hard or how much she can handle to breastfeed. Because I remember breastfeeding was really hard for me, and it took 2 months for it to stop hurting. And I remember cringing and thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to give up. I'm going to stop. And I'm glad I didn't. But I don't know how much more I could have taken.
And I completely agree with that. But coming from growing up in a different area and never seeing anyone breastfeed, never hearing anyone talk about it. When I talk about it, people are kind of like, look at you funny, like, huh? You know, and then you saw that study that came out recently, how people perceive breastfeeding moms to be less educated. Yeah, there was a study that came out that people don't view moms who breastfeed as being intelligent.
I've never heard that before.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, so I'll pull it up and send it out to you guys. But I mean, it's just the fact, I don't know. But just knowing that I came from a situation or I would lived in an area or one of these states, you know, that has the lowest breastfeeding rate, that I don't think people were trying.
And I know that Jennifer, I'm sorry, is it less intelligent or is it just less educated on the benefits of breastfeeding?
No, you mean, I wasn't saying the people who don't breastfeed are less intelligent. I was saying that the study said that people who do breastfeed
are perceived as being less intelligent, because that's my opposite experience. I feel like when Miles was 10 months old and people say, you're still nursing, holy cow, they would think like, wow, she's a committed hippie. Not that she's uneducated. I never felt like that was my perception.
Right. No. So that was what the study was, but I'm trying to find it right now via Google. But no, and I do agree that the states where, you know, I grew up are less educated about breastfeeding and the benefits of it and don't really have that support group that was mentioned in the blog post that I mentioned that I wrote about this past week.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, let's change gears here a little bit and talk about some happy times. Natalie, you had a fun weekend. Your little one was in a wedding. That must have been nerve-wracking because he's still kind of so unpredictable as a toddler. What was that like?
Right, you're right. It was a little nerve-wracking. At first, I wasn't nervous about it at all, you know, a few months out. You know, just the bride is, you know, she's my husband's sister, and she was like, you know, whatever he does is going to be fine. You know, she wasn't, you know, nervous about him being, you know, crying or running around or whatnot. And I just kept picturing it in my mind, like this outdoor kind of carefree ceremony where I knew it wasn't. It was a church ceremony. It was very traditional. And as we got closer and I kept thinking about, okay, this is a church. It's kind of a different thing that I'm used to. He's going to have to be more contained. I started getting more and more nervous. And then when we had the rehearsal, he was a really good boy, but every peep he made in that church just echoed. So we had kind of had a plan. It was just for me to hold him up there, and that was just, it wasn't going to work because he was going to be too squirmy. So we figured that out at the rehearsal, and one of Sean's cousins volunteered to sit in the front row and kind of keep him busy with a bag of tricks. So I'd say that's my number one tip. If you have a little guy or girl who's a ring bearer or a flower girl, is to have somebody who can keep him busy. Or, you know, what Jennifer did for her wedding, I thought was great. She had her little triplet nieces and nephew. They got kind of whisked off by a childcare person, and somebody from the church took care of them during the ceremony. So if you have access to that, that's probably the best thing, because then you don't have to stress about it at all. But second best is to have somebody bring a bag of stuff that your kid has never seen before. Like Dominic had there was an old, like, analog calculator in there that he just loved. So, or digital calculator, sorry, that he just loved. So he played with that, and he had some goldfish and some snacks he wasn't used to. And that kept him really quiet. People were amazed. They kept coming up to me after the ceremony and be like, oh, I thought they took him out. And then we saw you come back down the aisle, and I couldn't believe that the baby was sitting up there the whole time. So good tip for a ring bearer. Also, probably for flying too. We're getting ready to take our first flight as a toddler, and I'm going to enlist that same tip. But have you guys had any, were you ring bearers or flower girls when you were little, or have you had any experience with that?
No, I was a flower girl, but I think I was 5, so, and I was a pretty calm child. I didn't have any issues with that, but that would certainly make me nervous. I think, you know, Miles doesn't even walk yet, but I probably would worry that he would. I mean, he doesn't even have fits, but it's just kind of like, oh, you know, are people going to think he's bratty or something like that? So it seems like he passed with fine colors.
He did, he had a great time at the wedding. He danced and he laughed with everyone, and he was a big hit.
I love, Natalie, that you, and I actually, you shared, you kind of rubbed off on me early on in having Reese, because I was so stressed about everything, and it was just so reassuring to talk to you because you've been through it. But your perspective on just child rearing, it seems pretty laid back, and you do your research, but there are some things you can't control, and I love how you just go with the flow, and it just, everything works out.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's all you can really do in life. That's just always been my motto. I have a one of Sean's guy friends who, you know, is his dating is always very stressful for him. And that's always my number one advice for him, is just go with the flow, take it where it goes. And you can't control things when it's other people's feelings or emotions. So, you know, you prepare and you have the best attitude you can, and then you just let life take you where it goes.
Well, speaking of where it goes, let's talk about baby travel gear, because Jennifer is the one who has been racking up all the mileage lately. And I think Miles is pretty well traveled. He's had 21 flights in 12 months, so I'm used to it as well. But I don't usually buy gear for it. Jennifer, you're more prepared than I am. Tell us about your baby travel bag, or what goes near the front door when you're about to leave.
Sure. You know, I can't even keep up with how many flights we've been on. I tried to count last time, and I don't know how you keep up with 21, but maybe just keep adding numbers on.
Baby book. It's in the baby book.
I see. Yeah. So we always have a connection when we visit family in Arkansas. So that always adds an extra flight on for us. But every time we go, it's different because she's a different age. But I pulled together some new travel gear on our last trip, because we just switched up from the infant car seat to the convertible seat. And that makes a big difference in traveling, because did you girls travel with the Snap and Go with your infant carrier when you were?
I did. Yeah.
You did. Mm-hmm. You did. Which I loved, because, you know, there were those few opportunities that we were able to take her on the plane with us and sit her in the seat between us, luckily. And so I loved having that. And so when we switched over, I don't know how it works with toddlers. I mean, if you buy their own seat, do they sit in their car seat, or is there a special seat that you put in the seat, or do they just sit in the seat by themselves?
They'll let them sit in the seat by themselves if there's an extra seat. If they can sit up, by themselves and move around, then they usually do let them. But they'll also let you hold them, and that's usually my preference because he's only like 21 pounds. He's skinny. So it's my preference to just hold him in his lap, even if we do have an extra seat, which most of the time we don't.
Yeah, yeah. I love the luxury of being able to put Elle over in her own little seat. I mean, I like holding her too, but if it's last time we took a red eye, so, you know, it would have been nice if she just had her own little space where she could sleep and then I could sleep and we all get some rest. But I wanted to make sure after reading about Alex's post in LA that we made it there with our car seat because we couldn't go anywhere if we didn't have our car seat. So we got the
rental companies usually have them. So if you're stuck and it doesn't make it, you can go to like a Hertz or whatever and they've got them too for rental. And in the yes. case of emergency.
That's a really good point. But I wanted our car seat. Let's put it that way. And I also wanted a way to get Elle down easily in the airport. And our stroller's pretty big. And I know I've seen some big strollers in the airport, but we didn't take our stroller with us. So do you girls travel with your stroller?
You know, I just brought, Josh and I did a ton of research, and we ended up just getting the Upper Baby. It is called, oh God, I forget the name. I'll send it to you so we can post it on this podcast. But I think it's like 9 or 10 pounds, and that's what we travel with.
Nice. It's just an umbrella stroller.
It is.
Up a baby. Cool. Yeah, I'd love to see a link because I think we're going to have to invest in something like that. I always want my new gear. But this Go-Go Baby's Travel Mate, I was really excited about. Basically, it looks like a luggage pulley on your big car seat, and you can put the baby in it, and they can ride, and they like it. Elle did like it. We made the huge mistake of actually trying to install it right before we left because who wants to take the car seat out and try it and then put the car seat back in? So we thought, surely we can figure this out. It was pretty challenging. We ended up carrying it and the car seat down the runway or, you know, the jet to the airport, to the gate. So that was challenging, and thankfully we were able to find it for a good deal. It's normally, I think, around $90, and we got it for $70. But you'd think it'd be easier to attach, considering it's on the go. And then luckily, in our connection, we came across another guy who had this very same thing, and he was able to help us. But he had the same issue when trying to put it on. And he said that the second time they didn't even take it with them. They just left it. But I've heard really good things about this thing, too. And then the more we used it, the easier it got. And so I would recommend it. I think it was great in terms of being able to wheel her around. And she enjoyed it. And it made our lives easier in knowing. And then actually the car seat and knowing that the car seat would be there in the end. But I was also worried that the car seat would get dirty, you know, being put on the plane. With your checked luggage.
Do you have a bag for the car seat?
Actually, the airlines always wrap it for you. Even if you don't have a bag for it, they have big bags there and they wrap it up for you when you check it.
Right. So we didn't check ours. Strolling down. Okay. So we could take it directly on the gate with us and gate check it. So we strolled that down and it didn't get dirty. But you can buy a bag, Natalie Gafori. We just hadn't. Or we thought about bringing a garbage bag with us, which I think would work too.
Yeah. Well, we'll make sure that we put links to all of this stuff in the show notes because we've got so much gear that, and also, not to plug my own work, but I review baby apps for iPad, iPhone, and Android, and those are a lifesaver on long flights, too. My son loves to play iPad games, so make sure you check for links for that, and I'll make sure I put them on mommybeta.com. Also, make sure you're coming back to mommybeta.com on a regular basis because we give away a lot of fun stuff. We've got the What to Expect book line coming up this week. We've got Fitbits. We've got a baby Bjorn feeding product. So all of that stuff eligible for you to win for free, and we'll ship it to you just for being loyal listeners and readers. So before we wrap up the podcast today, we share a little victory at the end of the week. And I just thought of one actually as we were going through the podcast. So if you ladies don't mind, I'll take it. Is that okay?
Go for it.
Go for it.
Okay. So my little victory is actually probably maybe a little bit bigger, is that I made it to a year of breastfeeding. And I kept thinking about that because, my initial goal was six months, and we got there, and I said, I'm just going to keep going. And then I made it to 9, and he just turned a year, and we weaned about 2 days ago, and he hasn't fed since, and I'm not really making any milk anymore. And so we weaned, probably the last time he fed was on his one-year birthday. So I did it.
Congratulations, Nat.
That's huge. I really can't believe I got it there, because there were times when I thought, it was really hard, but mm-hmm. I did it. And I would say, he had some formula, but not on a regular basis. I would say he was probably about 95% breastfed until when he got to solids. It was still just me and and my terrible pump.
Don't think that's real cool.
So, yay for me. I had a little too much wine on the last night that I breastfed after I knew I was done, but I'll get back into my regularly healthy habits. But now I can drink whatever I want to.
Mm-hmm. Congrats. Oh, and I just wanted to go back really quick on the survey that I mentioned. It was actually just a survey that said, found that nursing moms seen as less competent is the headline. And basically, I guess these students were given an assignment and they rated breastfeeding women as the lowest of the four on overall competence, workplace capabilities in math, and maybe a few other things. So I think a lot of outlets or news outlets maybe took it out of proportion. So it's where my confusion came from, but I wanted to clear that up before we signed off.
Thanks.
Well, we'll link to that in the show notes as well. You can always find all of that at mommybeta.com. Thank you for visiting our site, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Have a great day.
Bye, ladies.
Bye.
Bye.
You and me, happy as can be, flying through the park on our bikes on a Sunday afternoon. Rolling on the floor, practicing your somersaults, your cartwheels, your donkey kicks, and more. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms, today you're growing off the charts. So proud of you. You and me drawing pictures wild and free while the paint goes flying. Your big smile, it brightens up the room. Shoulder, your eyes on the pages ahead. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms, today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you.